Hey friends, welcome to the Stationery Cafe, your podcast for everything stationery, journaling, planning related, and fun things happening in the community. I'm Phyllis from Miss Lingbloom, and in today's episode, I'm happy to chat with stationery lover April from Penguins Creative. April is the co-host of the Stationery Cafe, I think you already knew that, and is a lover of Hobonichi, Traveler's Notebook, and all things stationery as far back as 2014. Starting from Taiwan and now actively in the community in the U.S. We are excited to share with you her story today. Hi, April. Thanks for joining. So happy to have you on the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I've been a fan for so long. Role reversal. But no, seriously though, it is so fun to turn the tables and get a chance to learn more about you and about Penguins Creative, about your stationery obsession and the whole process. Especially since you've done so much for the community. I think it's really, really fun that we can get a chance to get to know your story a little bit more.
It's funny because I never thought about doing this when I was planning the episodes, because I would intervine my stories with the guests in each episode. Sometimes they talk about things and I share my relatable experience, and I feel like if you're a fan of Station Cafe, you probably have heard my entire story just like snippets here and there. But you know, I think this is a great idea to kind of like do a condensed version, and I feel like I needed to do one for you and then do a new one for Kelly again. But, you know, I'm happy to start with my story.
Well, you know, that's a good place to start off with, because I do remember you've shared on the podcast before kind of a little bit about your origin story with stationery, and that, you know, you grew up in Asia and that you are surrounded by that stationery culture. But, you know, I guess tell us a little bit more about when did it develop just from casually like, yeah, we're just using stationery, I'm a student, and, you know, that's what everyone else does, to really becoming a hobby for you.
So I'm Taiwanese. So I grew up in Taiwan and actually in Bangkok, Thailand too. I kind of country hop because my family worked in Thailand all the way up till I graduated high school. So my stationery hobby has always kind of been on the simmery level, where, you know, you go to your local mom and pop stationery store to buy fun pens to use in your notes, you know, you buy cute stickers and all that. But I like to think that the stationery rabbit hole that really opened up for many of us started in around 2014. And that happens to be when I was transitioning from a job in Thailand after I graduated college to a gap year where I had no idea what I was going to do next. And I think that was around when I was deciding, you know what, maybe I should just go back to school or go get a master's or something. And so, you know, that gap year where you're like, you're prepping for school, you're prepping for the GMATs, you're prepping, just doing a lot of like routine stuff. And I remember, I think I shared with this with you, like I felt like I needed to do it because I can't let this gap year go to waste. Even though some people's gap year is to travel or something, I'm literally staying in one city, and time flies when you just do those, like go to cram school and stuff every day. So I wanted a way to record my life in a meaningful way so that I felt like I didn't waste any of it. And so that's when I really picked back up the Hobonichi in the true sense of the whole illustrating, doodling, writing about my day, using washi tape, using stickers. Because prior to that, I did do some journaling in school, but they're more like weekly tasks. Like I had a Hobonichi back in 2012, but it was so plain. I didn't even have a cover. Wow. It was just an insert and I used pencils in it. And that's it.
How did you know about the Hobonichi? Like, is that something that was popular when you were in school, or like were people using it as a planner?
It was a planner, not in school, but actually my aunt was the one who introduced it to me. She is a Japan-holic. Like she loves Japan. She works for all these like Sony and like it's like Japanese companies. And so she would like travel to Japan a lot, and she got infatuated with the local stationery culture, and she would always bring back to me like fun stationery to try, like Marks or Edit or like the Hobonichi.
Wow.
So she had covers from all the way back in like 2008, 2009, like
super old
covers. And she wouldn't give them to me. Well, she did give me a hand-me-down when I really got back into it, but she was the one who brought back to me the Hobonichi. And then I used it as a planner, and that's actually how many people use it. In Taiwan, we had a forum, which I think is kind of like a Reddit here, if you want to compare it. It's called PTT. And there's a forum topic specifically called stationery. And that's where the Taiwanese stationery geeks hang out. And I used it a lot in college to kind of learn about, oh, so Pentel has this new gel pen, or, you know, the scissor brand Tools to Live By opened up way back in like 2012 or something like that. But it really took off still after I came back from working in Thailand for like a year and a half. Mm. That was my true hiatus from anything creative. I didn't do any journaling, no scrapbooking.
Wow.
I was blogging, I think. Came back and really went full analog, because I'm lucky. I just had so much time to do things. Like I could like go do all the cultural stuff. I was like the hippie, the wenxing in like the fullest sense of the word. I was cafe journaling. I was going urban sketching. I was meeting up with people and, you know, really embracing the whole stationary culture. And that's about when all the Hank's Diary like exploded, LCN, like starting out with the markets, and I was able to be kind of on the frontier of things. And I think it just so happens that I'm lucky that I speak English, and I was able to be in the initial forming of the communities on Facebook too, of people that are in the US or in Europe wanting to learn about Asian stationery. And I was like, oh yeah, I went to Hank's Diary's market the other day.
I feel like that's also maybe around the time when stationery in the US was starting to get big again too, when people were like, you know, using Filofax again, and like Erin Condren was coming out with their planners and stuff. I feel like maybe it was around the same time. And so like, so Asia had this like kind of, at least in Taiwan, there was like this stationery revival almost, and you were right there in that, I don't know, epicenter, I guess.
No, I was in the Renaissance.
in the Renaissance. And then, yeah, in the US, I guess the US market was also interested in learning more about stationery too.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. So then now, what is your current setup? You know, I think you always, your mainstay is the Hobonichi, but you know, what is your current setup right now? Are you still using the journals you started in 2021? This is a question from the audience.
I have so many, and it's like seriously hard to keep track. And I have a video on YouTube, actually two videos, 2 years in succession, where it was like, I'm using 7 journals this year. And then this year, I'm using 11 planners this year. My mainstay, the Hobonichi, the memory keeper. And I actually, wait, hold on. I have an episode about that. Like, remember? I have an episode where I just went through my lineup. But I just wanted to maybe like highlight the main ones now that I really love and use like quickly. The Hobonichi Cousin Avec, Holy Grail. If I could only choose one to keep going on, despite my current occupation affiliation, I still love the Hobonichi. It's my identity because it kind of incorporates the quality paper, the space for the art I like to do, the ability to hold a whole year's memory in one book, the flexibility for me to flip, to tip in things, and for it to be so bulky that it could be afraid. I just love the Hobonichi so much. I love the covers. And the cover is really like a extra to it. The book itself. Traveler's Notebook was actually my first journal though, when I started out. 2000.
Really?
Yeah, I got a brown Traveler's Notebook back when it was still branded Midori at Tokyo Hands Taiwan. It was so expensive. So And these days, I just have a bunch of Traverse Notebook because of all the limited edition covers they come out. I like Traverse Notebook because they don't like spam you with too many collabs. Like, hopefully, like, here's 80 different covers to choose from this year. TN kind of phases you guys a little bit, like, slowly. So it's very easy to justify collecting all the limited edition covers.
Right.
So I love the whole lifestyle behind Traverse Notebook too. I think that's what everyone loves about Traverse Company. So I love using the Hobonichi Traverse Notebook for travel and trips and like the overflow from the Hobonichi, which documents my daily life in creative ways. Practicality wise, I love using my Noti Listy as a daily planner. And it has like a little bit of work stuff. It has a little bit of personal stuff. It's a perfect combination. And it's in an A5 slim size with vertical columned weekly layout, similar to one of the Traverse Notebook inserts. So I really enjoy using the Noti Listy to plan out my days, especially since before I started working, I had like the Stationery Cafe podcast. I had a bunch of like obligations with the family, the in-laws, and then like, you know, the daily schedules that goes on in the person's life. That's where it lives. And today I added two more functional planners to my lineup. One I did have talked about in the video, and it was the Noti PDCA, which you introduced me to 2 years ago.
Yep.
So that's kind of like my catch-all for the podcast maintenance, like, you know, guest scheduling, things I need to do. And now with our launch of the Station Cafe Patreon, that is in there too. And I need to credit London Gifties Christine for that idea, because she said when she started building her store, she uses her journal to document her journey, like not just the task portion, but also the mental portion of building her empire. So the PDCA has been really good in that sense for me to kind of like log the journey along the way. And for work now, I use a plotter, which is a new system introduced to me last year, November, when I already had all my lineup all set. And Yuri,
a wrench in your plans.
Was like, Yuri came onto one of our episodes, and then we did a few events with her after that. And she's like, April, I want to give you a Christmas gift. And then she sent me the plotter, which is only available in Japan. It's very slim, sexy, portable, and convenient leather ring system. So
beautiful. So beautiful.
I was never a ring person. So
I know this converted you completely.
This converted me completely. And I've been loving the flexibility, and I didn't use any data inserts in that at all. Like, this is seriously solely the purpose of an organizer, project organizer, a place to store all my work thoughts and tasks and to-dos. And you know, really fully utilize the whole ring flexibility, where you can re-sort the order of your page, discard things that you no longer need, and then have dividers, your favorite thing, have like folders and have like sections. And I think I kind of am starting to discover the joy of the ring planner through the plotter. Journal, plotter, planner, plotter, organizer. I don't know how to call that yet.
Do you think you will ever move away from any of those systems? Because, I mean, the Hobonichi you've used for years now, same with Traveler's Notebook. I think the Listy, it's your second year. The PDCA, it's your first year. And then the plotter is now also your first year. So it seems like, you know, when you try a new system, if you love it, you'll stay with it. And if you don't love it, you know, it's kind of you try it and then maybe it gets put aside. Do you feel like there's anything right now in your lineup where you're like, this is going to be, it's here to stay. You're like, this is here to stay.
I think the plotter is here to stay. I'm thinking about switching out the PDCA. And then one thing that was kind of phasing out right now is actually my Hobonichi Weeks. I used it so successfully last year, the entire year for my health planning. I had a video about it. And that's because actually for the past 2 years, 2019 up to the end of 2020, because my health was a mess, you know, as is everyone. Mental health wise, you're just constantly bombarded with stress, anxiety, world news, political news. That was the perfect vehicle for me to figure out my shit literally while being unemployed and all that stuff. And it had been a great friend. This year though, I found myself kind of like strong enough to not needing that outlet. And so I was able to, you know, no longer rely on it as much to kind of keep track or maintain focus. And so I'm thinking about potentially moving away from the weeks and can kind of just combining it into my noti listy or the, my daily planner and have it together. Cause I was influenced by Havoc Rose. One of my friend Miranda, she, in her Hobonichi week, she has her weekly schedule, but then also has a little portion of the health in it. So I think I no longer need it to be an independent book, but like I can start to slowly combine it back into my existing system. The plotter, I really like because I want to get to a stage where it's patinaed and like nice and like, you know, what we love about leather goods, right? So, so that's why I wanted to stay. But the noti ones, I'm kind of going in and out and deciding what would work better for me now that there's more to-do lists for the Patreon, more tasks for the podcast, and the vertical layout in the PDCA is too small for me now.
I see.
But yeah.
Well, so this, I would like to know, you know, you've got so much going on. You have your new job, you have the podcast, you have the Patreon, you have a dog, and you also have like just life, you know? So how do you incorporate stationery into your everyday life? Like what do you have a philosophy that you follow? Like, you know, I remember when you interviewed Patrick, he's just like, his system is just part of his everyday. The Chronodex is just his, it's part of his everyday. And I'm wondering if you have something like that too.
I was about to mention Patrick. Like, I love asking this question to my guests because I always wonder how people prioritize things and how they think of stationery as a hobby and how it like intertwined in their daily routine. And my goal is to be like Patrick, to the point where stationery is not a dedicated hour to play, but more like a tool that can assist me in doing a variety of things that's valuable for me. Like writing happy mail and keeping up with my friends is valuable. And if stationery helps me add more color to it, then perfect. Writing about my day and tasks and planning is important as a person, I guess.
Yeah.
And if I could use a beautiful fountain pen to assist me with doing that, that's like a check mark in the stationery lifestyle, right? I want to be like Nida, where like, you know, stationery creeps into the interior decor, but I'm not that yet. Not there yet. but that would be really neat.
I know, her whole house, there's like, you know, a little mug here or like a print on the wall, and you're like, oh yeah, that's like by Mina Perronen or something.
her carpet is from what is
rifle
that?
Paper.
Rifle paper coat. Yeah. So pretty. It's like, I love that where stationery it became a lifestyle, right? I don't have like a set routine because it just varies from day to day. Some days when I have time in the morning, I would do a few pages in my journal with my fountain pen before I start the day. And then most days around lunch is when I kind of like jot down in my vertical weekly of the Hobonichi section highlights that I can refer back to if I don't have time to journal in my daily pages. And then at night, in the evenings or in the afternoons after work, or when I'm done with cookie chores, my dog, like walking the dog and all that stuff, I would like sit down and then like, you know, fill in the day or play with the stickers, do some collaging. And then with like the Twitch, now that the Twitch community is pretty popular and everyone's streaming stationery, you can even like throughout the day just kind of put it on in the background and listen to people talk about stationery while you go about your like daily chores. I love that. It really felt like, wow, it's becoming part of my identity. And
right,
I'm not ashamed of it because it doesn't feel like it's kids' play. They really assist me in doing adult things. So I feel no guilt talking about washi tape and stickers and pens and paper because it's making my mental health pretty well.
I think that's how people feel, like at least for me, that's how I feel about listening to the podcast too, because, you know, at work, I'm not able to like, you know, do stationary things as much, but like on my way to work, or if I do have some time to go out for a walk, or on my way home from work, listening to the podcast is like a little way to just check back in with myself, you know, like it's something that I'm doing for me, and it's really nice.
I would say it's like equivalent to mindfulness, like you're aware of what you're thinking and what you're doing and what you're observing, because that isn't that like the Traveler's Notebook, like not just Traveler's Notebook, like the Hobonichi and the Traveler's Notebook philosophy of like, you know, writing down moments that you slowed down and saw, you know, the bird that was on the tree and like the tea, you smell it before you drink it. And these are all the little things that's very, I think, aligned with the idea of mindfulness, where you're aware of the moment and you're just not like on autopilot. And I think journaling and stationery and planning, when some people call it that way, are all kind of like that. Like we slow down and we like actually take the time to record it in some ways, whether it's drawing, writing, doodle, and then like have it be in a tangible place.
Right, exactly. It's like the idea of like, you notice more things around you because we are doing journaling and planning.
And then just like you drawing Teddy at the end of the day, or like doing like little sketches of your house or the plants, like you're not going to do anything with it afterwards. Like it's not like you're going to like host an art gallery and show them, right? But the idea that, oh, I capture a little bit about this in my book is just so, it's a smug satisfaction for me.
Now, do you ever feel like you have trouble balancing everything, you know, with all these different aspects of like things, all your different interests? Do you feel like there's a difficulty with balance, or, you know, what's your approach to that?
I feel like someday I get stressed out about, oh, I probably have too much. And then some other days I'm like totally okay with letting go of one book and like not looking at it for a few weeks. And I guess, yeah, it's kind of like Patrick's mentality of like maintaining a healthy relationship with the tools you own. Mm-hmm. Like you don't want it to overwhelm, my ideal state is that I don't want it to overwhelm me, but I also have the option to choose what I wanted to use when I felt like it. So I feel like I'm in a very healthy stage now. Things doesn't feel imbalanced because I'm okay with letting some go and letting some blank. And then time-wise, I also feel like I'm in a good place where I won't feel bad if I don't have time to journal tonight, or if I want to take 20 minutes in my lunch break, I feel happy sacrificing lunch to journal. So it's like, you know, like it's all, I don't know how to describe it. It's kind of like feeling okay with how you choose to spend your time. So as long as you're feeling content about that, there's no need to be a scale regarding how much of it you did or how much of it you did not do.
Right. Like you're okay with that give and take. Like everything in life is about that balance. And sometimes you'll journal more, sometimes you'll journal less. Sometimes you work more, sometimes you work less. And you're just at peace with that.
I'm totally at peace. Yeah. Yes.
That's exactly. Good. I need to work on that. I was looking at my my Yohand notebook and my thinking of you. I have been so neglected. I'm like, oh man, I was feeling kind of bad about it yesterday, but I think I'll just, after this podcast, I'll just let it go and start a new page.
Definitely. I think starting a new page is a great strategy. Yeah. Or just plaster the old page with like random stuff.
Cool. Okay. Well, now I want to move into some fun questions, fun history questions. So, you know, I think when we asked the audience on Discord if people wanted to know things about you, you know, people were wondering about podcast history, cafe journaling. So we'll get into some of those. So I guess let's start with cafe journaling and urban sketching. When did you start with that?
I started 2015. I know because in 2014, when I started with the stationery hobby, I was so shy to do any of that thing. That first year, it was just myself, my sister, and potentially dragging my mother along with me to cafes and like kind of doing that. But the actual act of, wow, meeting up with strangers or reaching out to people on Instagram and then saying, hey, let's do this together was definitely a breakthrough for me in 2015. Probably because also I was ready to come to the U.S. then. I was like,
who cares?
I don't care. I give no, like, I don't care about my image anymore. I just want to be brave. I want to step out of my comfort zone. So I'm not staying in Taipei long enough for them to remember this awkward like encounter. So I am happy to do it. So I went to an urban sketcher meetup in Taiwan. That's when I learned about it. And it was actually, I need to credit my friend, but her name is in Chinese and her account is also in Chinese on Facebook. But she actually started the blend of cafe journaling and urban sketching. She called it cafe sketching. That's her thing. And it was a woman. I felt very comfortable. I went there, it was just her and two other ladies, and we sat at a cafe and we sketched the interior of the cafe.
Wow.
And so that was the first, before I even get into urban sketching, because the urban sketching crowd in Taipei is so intimidating. There's no way I could like go and be confident. So the cafe sketch helped me ease into it, because the friend was super down to earth. She teaches at community colleges right now and teach people how to do cafe sketching, you know, super easy drawings, and then also just have fun with your friends. But then urban sketching really took off for me when I came to the United States, because I was here by myself, first time in my life, like none of my family lives in the USA. And going to the States and getting a degree has always been kind of like my dream. And so I was in Boston, no, zero people except my newly met roommates and my classmates. And I was like, I need to actively build my social circle. So I went and see, oh, do they have a chapter of State Urban Sketcher here? And then I found out there is. And luckily for me, they are the best people I've ever met. Miriam, Eric, and then all these people there were so nice to me, and we hang out every Sunday. They did urban sketching meetups every weekend.
Wow.
That's
a huge volume, because I think the Seattle one was like once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some places every other month, but wow. The urban sketching group in Boston did it once a week. And at first I was like, I'm just going to go see what it's like. And the cool thing is you don't have to talk to anyone. You sit there and then you just pick a spot and then you just draw. And then at the end of the hour, you come back, you show down and you don't even talk to people. You're just like, oh, that's so pretty. That's amazing. And then you pack up your sketchbook and you leave. Essentially, that's what it is. And then because they pick a new spot in the city, Boston's pretty walkable, transportable. It's very easy to get to places, mm-hmm. even without a car, at least in the city. So they pick the new spot each week, and I kind of use it as an opportunity to be like, well, let's explore, you know, let's see what different parts of town that I won't necessarily go to because, you know, I'm new here. So mm-hmm. that actually allowed me to have that experience of like, hey, talking to strangers, starting small talks, and just like at the same time reacquaint myself with the love for like art and like sketching and drawing. Mm-hmm. And painting. And I think that really helped me a lot in starting cafe journaling meetups, because I was like, I'm treating it just like I did that like I experienced in urban sketching, you know, I'm just gonna call for a meetup and you can come, you can go, no obligations, no, you don't have to pay anything. And then we just come and then we can talk about stationery. And that apparently is something that some people like to do or want to do. Like I was looking for the hidden stationery enthusiast.
Yes.
In the US. And so I started doing that in Boston and I found a few friends who like are really into it. And then we start meeting up every other week. And then I remember when I went to New York City, I was like, I was in the Hobonichi user group. And I was like,
right, right.
Come. And then you messaged me, Phyllis messaged me and said, oh, my train is late, but I'm coming down. We were meeting at this like French cafe place. And we had a lot of fun there too. I made very good friends in New York City that likes to do cafe journaling. I kind of bounced between Boston and New York City a little bit back then. And then finally, when I came to Seattle, I actively looked for a crowd starting with you. And then you were able to get a few people to do this before I was even moving here. And then it was just like, oh yeah, you ready-made cafe journaling friend group already there. Welcome me.
I think the Seattle group, I remember posting, it was either in Hobonichi or in the Traveler's Notebook group, but I was moving back to Seattle from the East Coast. And so that first month I was here, I was like, hey, does anybody want to meet up? And so I think that's how I met Leah, one of our friends in our Seattle group. But I don't remember if that's how I met Nita also, because Nita was with Ash,
yes.
Another gal from Taiwan, but I think she was living in like Eastern Washington.
So I met Ash through Instagram. So that's like another power of finding Instagram friends. I was like, when I was coming to Seattle just for like a summer, like a 1 week trip without any thought about ever moving here, I was like, hey, anyone wants to do a meetup, you know? And I connected with Ash and she was like, yeah, I can help. I can meet up. And then we met up. And then on the last day before I was going to fly back to Boston, she's like, oh, my friend Nita would love to come too. And then we journaled together with Nita and Ash together at this restaurant in Pike Place Market, like literally 3 hours before my flight. It was the best. And then that's how I kind of connected with Nita too.
So then when was the first time, so the cafe sketching group was the first time you did a meetup, but like when was the first time you remember reaching out to somebody, like someone you've never met online, and then asked to meet up in person for journaling?
Oh yeah, no, that is also in Boston, I think. I do have to say though, I did have practice of that when I was in Taiwan towards the end, because I had a friend who was kind of in my position where she was kind of corralling the stationery community in Taiwan, and she actually hosted a event where you can buy tickets to go, and it's like kind of planner con, but like in a super small scale, only a few hours. She invited Patrick and Thomas, another Traveler's Notebook user, to come and share their experience, and you kind of sit in these tables and you just look at them share, and we did a planner stack and stuff. And then I got to make friends with some of the people at my table, and then I did like one or two meetups after that over there. But yeah, when I came to the US, the first time was probably as fast as like the second week. I was like calling for like stationery lovers. Anyone uses a Hobonichi or a Traveler's Notebook? I love to meet up and chat. And I met with your pen pal. I met with your friend Diane, who collected vintage teacups before I even know you, which is insane. Connections, because she was in Boston, and so we met up a little bit, and then I met up with my friend Drew and Tammy, who are Hong Kong Americans, and they got to really like share my love for Traveler's Notebook and started to have a lot more consistent meetups since then.
Yeah. Wow, that is like, that's like that's what started it all. You know, you're the beginning of you building community. It's like, wow, that was history happening there. So then what about, some audience members were also asking about how did the podcast start? What was your vision for it? And then how did you make that happen?
Didn't we start it?
Yeah, I know. I was like, I guess I feel like what happened was, I was just bored or something. I don't even remember. I get all kinds of weird ideas. And then I was just thinking how, like, we like to talk about stationery, and I probably was just like thinking, oh, maybe other people want to hear us talk. And so I was like, hey, does anyone want to make a podcast with me? And then you were like,
2019, yeah, right? 2019, yeah. October. You spoke up and said something about it. And to me, actually, a year ago, I wanted to do one myself.
Yeah.
But I recorded a pilot episode. I listened to it, deleted it, and never got back to it. I was like, I hate my voice. What am I even saying? I'm not making sense. But that was when I was really in love with the Panatic podcast, and I love listening to it when I work out or like do things. I'm like, I want to talk about stationery too. And so I wanted to try it. Like 2018, I was telling Elliot, oh, it'd be so cool if I do a podcast. And he's like, why don't you do it? And I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. And I didn't have any equipment. I was recording on my phone, speaking in the microphone. And I got so tongue-tied. It was awkward. It was really, really like monotone. Like I was reading off a script. It was the most horrible pilot episode. And honestly, I used Anchor to set up our podcast. Uh-huh. That episode was in there. I had to delete it because it was so bad. And I just kind of put it on the side burner until like when you mentioned it, I was like, yes, I'm going to jump on Phyllis's offer and have her give me that little boost of confidence, because I guess I had felt inferior about my pronunciation or like my English, because it did have a little bit of like this, you know, Asian speaking kind of like word habits. I was not as confident back then as I am now, even though I still stumble over words sometimes. But you and Kelly have been my shield into the podcast world, seriously.
Well, I think you are our shield, because I feel like if I were to just do a podcast by myself, I don't think I have anywhere near your enthusiasm or knowledge about stationery, and so I probably just get kind of boring. I feel like if I did a podcast by myself, it would sound like a lecture. It would sound boring.
That's what I thought I sounded like. I was like, you're so boring.
I guess the answer is it has to be us talking, because when, you know, the two or three of us get together, that's when it's really, it's like that dream, you know, the stationery cafe conversations. Like, what do we talk about when we journal?
We had the name Paper Cuts initially.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
And that turns out it was already so hard.
Oh, that's right.
And we're like, okay, what else should we use? What else should we do? And then we were like, well, you know, what about like, you know, it's kind of like us going to the cafe and journaling. What about we call it a stationery cafe? And it rolled off our tongues. And then we just kind of went from there. And I remember we were doing every 2 months. Like it was super.
Yeah.
Casual, like whenever you have time, whenever.
Yeah, it was just like a little hobby, like, oh yeah, I guess we'll record this weekend.
And it was very bootstrapped, like, not that it's any more sophisticated now, but like literally when we were still able to gather and like go to people's house, I would drive over to your house in the Sunday morning, and then we would talk into the phone together and like do an episode. Then it's kind of like a mini meetup each time. So
right.
We had zero vision. It was just to continue this fun journaling meetup. And then it wasn't until March and April when my job was looking very perilous. Then travel industry, not surprising.
Yes.
March 2020, that I was like, I guess I have more time now to do something else. And so I asked Kelly if she wants to do... She wants to add to the conversation with our happy hour. And then I was like, Phyllis is very busy as a doctor during the pandemic. I can't rely on her for every episode. you know, I don't want to take away her precious time saving people. So I actually had to like kind of pivot. And then I was like, okay, what if I ask my friends? And I honestly reached out to my friends first as guests. Like, thank you, Chris, if you're listening.
Chris, yes.
Thank you for doing it with me. First episode, having her as a guest. And she's your mutual friend too, your pen
pal. Yeah, I know. I was like, it was so cool that she had that first episode.
So really, it just kind of like snowballed from there. Now, towards the end of last year, before we even had like iconic episodes like with Patrick and Travis Company, I was sort of like, oh, I guess I'm stuck now. Like, people are expecting episodes every week.
Yeah, we want content, April.
I can't like let them down, even though I wasn't getting paid. I'm still not getting paid for it or anything. Like, it was really, literally me using my own time to do this. But the thing I keep telling everyone, it kept me sane. Like, I was going through a lot of ups and downs, internal turmoil. Did I make the right decision? The pandemic's so scary. The election's so scary. Mm-hmm. Like, I was so happy to have a little piece of stationary world to retreat to at the end of the day. And I wouldn't have made so much friend if I hadn't started the guest section, if I hadn't like kind of stepped out of my comfort zone again, like level two, to like talk to strangers and ask them to do these face-to-face conversation. Like, I know what Job looks like, and like all these fun things. And so it was really fun. Like, I come away from each episode so energized. I would run downstairs, Elliot, I had a great episode again. This is so fun. Like, I'm so happy I met her. Like, she made me cry today. Or like, your story was so bad. Like, it was chicken soup. You know that old thing where like, the book with the chicken
soup. Books, yeah.
Each story that I got to share with or talk to people about, and you guys didn't hear the full one because I always edit, the whole 2 hours conversations I had with people inspires me so much. And the different ways people make a living, the different ways people treat stationery as a hobby or as a thing they consider part of their lifestyle, it made me feel like I wasn't alone. And it kind of gave me a purpose back when it was really dire. And so I'm like still very, very grateful. And today, I've been wanting to make it something that's more sustainable. So that's why we started the Patreon. Because, like, you know, I don't want to have burnout. And I don't want to ever come to a point where I feel like I'm doing this for free, so I kind of don't want to do it anymore, you know? So I wanted to set up like accountability and like this responsibility, and then maybe even had the chance to talk to more people and ask them what they want to hear instead of just what I want to hear. So that's why Kelly and I launched a Patreon. She and I talked about doing the actual cafe, like, because she used to work as a barista and I love stationery, and too bad she's in Washougo and I'm up in Seattle. But if there ever was an opportunity, like, that would be the coolest thing. And this
it would
like
be amazing.
The next best thing to actually putting a physical shop together.
And it's like, you know, I feel like the stationery cafe kind of filled this void that was in the English speaking stationery market, because, you know, there were planner cons and stuff, but it's not the kind of stationery that I'm interested in. And so I feel like this, it's a space for the Asian style stationery that I grew up with and that I like. And it's so cool to see the community coming together. And it's like, I remember when you messaged me and asked, like, you know, you're like, hey, Phyllis, I'm like thinking about expanding this. Like, what do you think? And I was like, wow, yeah, sure, that's going to be really cool. But I had if you asked me then, do I think it would have been as big as it is now with like everything, like all these guests you've had, the Discord, Twitch, like you were saying earlier, I could turn on my computer and watch people talk about the stationery that I'm interested in, that I like, almost any time of day. it's really cool. It's like, I think it really has, 2020 is like a year of stationery. It's really brought people together and like really refocused on like analog and reflection and writing. So it's, wow, that stationery cafe history is very cool. Okay, so then what about, so you guys, you and Kelly just launched your Patreon. Is there anything next or anything, any new projects for Stationery Cafe that you can tell us about?
Oh man, I feel like that's already so much going on.
It's true, there are.
The Stationery Cafe Patreon was kind of like the biggest project of the year. And people ask me, is Phyllis out of it now? Is Phyllis not a part of the Stationery Cafe anymore? I'm like, no. Phyllis is the core part of the Stationery Cafe. But she's a full-time doctor. We can't ask her to like dedicate like hours of her like regular busy schedule, especially with your kid, to kind of like add to the Patreon if you ever want to.
I know. I would love to. I'm always like trying to dream up ways on how I can add more stationery to my life, but I already feel like everything's like about to blow up at any moment. So. And I was just like holding on to my traveler's notebook, like, just stay sane.
So the Patreon though, Phyllis, is kind of, when I was talking about it with Kelly, I wanted to be like the lab. Not only are we creating more content, obviously, written, image, video, but I wanted to be the safe space for us to potentially be like the stationery selection, be like, you know, Blue Raven Inc. or Esther with her own Wonderless brand, and have these opportunity to come up with cool collabs or cool merch or just like, you know, what we had imagined. Oh, if I could design a pen, what would it be? You know, obviously we're far away from a very sophisticated product yet. A girl can dream, right? So I think nothing too crazy coming this year. I just started a new job. Kelly's ramping up with her job because of COVID restrictions loosening. So we're going to just try to sustain, you know, the stationery cafe and the busy lifestyle. And one of the coolest thing we're doing now is just coming up with a physical tumbler mug for the stationery cafe enthusiasts. If you're a Venti subscriber, you get it once in your time of subscription. So, you know, if in the future more spots open up, or when people, you know, switch tiers and more became available, you know, we'd invite you to join that tier and then get a chance to get a Stationery Cafe tumbler for now.
Awesome. Well, okay, I think the tumblers are super exciting. I can't wait to see what is in store for the Stationery Cafe with the Patreon. It's awesome. And so I want us to wrap up with a rapid fire quick interview question session. And some of these questions are from, you know, our listeners. And so we'll just go through them and, you know, just quick answers, whatever comes to your mind. Okay. Mm-hmm. So first, what is your favorite stationery lifestyle, non-stationery item?
Ooh, probably my Superior Labor bags, the engineer totes.
Ooh, yes.
Is that like, that's not stationery, right? That's like a
set. Yeah. Yeah, that's an excess. That's a lifestyle. Yeah. Totally. Because you could take it out to like, you know, go camping or something.
My favorite.
Okay. What about your name, Penguins Creative? What does it mean? And how did you come up with it?
It was originally Penguins R Us. You know, like a play on Toys R Us?
Yes.
Because for some reason, back in high school, I had like this crazy like vision of like penguin world domination. And then I kind of wanted to do, I kind of came up with the gimmick Penguins R Us, thinking it would be fun. But I went back to Taiwan after I graduated high school. No one there gets it. Because in Taiwan, they don't call it Toys R Us. They call it Wanju Ban Dou Chen.
Oh, yeah.
So my name just doesn't click with anyone. Like, I was trying to be punny, but like, no one gets it. I'm like, fine. And I switched it to Penguins Creative, I think, in like 2014. And it's even like the name of an advertising agency in Texas somewhere.
Oh, really?
Checking it. I know. And oh, I want to share also like my Chinese version of the penguin's creative name, because I actually started out my art ventures by selling postcards with penguin doodles. That's usually the mascot you see on my profile, because I used to doodle a bunch of penguins. In Chinese, penguin is pronounced 企鹅, with the word 企, and I combined it with the word art or picture 图. So my brand name in Chinese was 小企图, which also is a pun for a little ambitious. So it's really cute. And I sold like penguin doodle postcards at like flea markets and stuff.
So why penguins? Are they your favorite animal?
They are my favorite animal, especially the Adelaide penguins.
Wow, you even have a specific species that you like. I did not know that.
Well, I felt like it's getting a bit too obsessive, and like it's been quite a few years since I like kind of really had it as my, you know how high schoolers are. We want
to. Yeah, we get, like, you get, you think it's funny, and then you're like.
Like an identity thing, you know? So people give you penguin plushies, and like, you know, they call you penguin. Like, my nickname is A'e.
Super, no.
Super bad.
I didn't know.
Because
that.
They only take the A part from Qi'e, but A'e is like the market, like super traditional market, old lady behind the fish stall name. Like, that's So it kind of like, it just kind of snowballed from there. So I stopped being too obsessed over it, but now it's this is a name I stuck with.
Okay, next question. Do you name your fountain pens, like especially the fancy ones, do they have names?
I don't, but I want to. I feel like I should,
because you name your cars, right?
I do name our cars, because the name my red car used to be called Elmo, and my husband's car is Cookie Monster. He's selling it now, though, and I already lost Elmo. Well, I traded in Elmo for something else. So my new car is a black car, which is pearl black. It is the name of the paint. So we call him Boba. Or her. I don't know what the gender of my car, but like we call it Boba. But yeah, I should name my pens. But the thing is, I have too many pens. Like if I give names to all of them, I would just get really confused.
What if you only gave names to some, like only to the Sailor Pro gear or something?
That's true. Maybe then, I have to. Yeah.
Then what if the other ones feel bad though?
Well. Probably. Like how Miranda from Havoc Rose names her Mont Blanc with the snake coiled over it.
Ooh.
Turnip. Like it's such a cool name. Like
it's a
badass
cute name.
Snake fountain pen. But yeah, I probably have to put more thoughts into that.
Okay, we kind of talked about this a little bit, but if you had a dream company that you could collaborate with, who would it be? And it can't include the company you work for.
No, that's already like too far
yes.
for me, so I talk about it. But Maruko Art, are you listening?
Oh
but
my like, gosh.
Maruko. I don't think she listens to the podcast, though, even though I told her about it many times. I'm like, find a stationery cafe, stationery item. Like, I will fly back to Taiwan to do it with you. I love her whimsical little animals, and so it would be so cool to have a cute stationery item. Design
oh my
by
gosh.
Her.
What if she makes postcards of her little animals sitting in a stationery cafe listening to a podcast? They could be sitting there listening to like a radio or something.
That would be the sweetest.
That would really be amazing.
I want to. That's like, see, that's the kind of things I want to do in the Patreon lab. So
that would be so cool.
Small batch, unique collab items with people I'm obsessed with. So we'll see. And the superior labor is probably one that I think would be cool.
Oh my gosh.
I love their
stuff.
That
would be so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a specific item you would want them to collab on? Like, do you have you want them to make a pouch or a bag? What do you think?
Probably a pouch. Kind of like the ones that Stationery Selection did, Wanderlust by TSL did, and like so many other brands that kind of commissioned them to design pouches for. I think a pouch with like a cafe sort of like motif on it would be so cool. And then you can put your like, I don't know, when you go out to cafe, what do you buy? I don't know what you would buy.
Latte. Like a latte or something, a latte art.
I don't know. Yeah, your labor is just kind of like the dream brand to work with.
That would be so cool. Okay, do you have any other new projects or products that you're excited about for 2021?
No projects on my side. I am looking forward to potentially visiting the San Francisco Pen Show if that ends up happening. It's in August, which is still like a few months away. And ideally, they will have good regulations in place. But I would love to go there and meet so many of my friends in person, because that's kind of like the event everyone was looking forward to going. And like, it's funny because I felt like we're like the little stationery group trying to butt into the fountain pen enthusiast community. But we love pens and we like notebooks, and you know, who knows, maybe Travers Notebook will be able to go there too, but it's not anything solid yet. But that's one thing I'm excited about. Like, whether or not I go as a company or as an individual, I'm going. Like, that's kind of like one of the things I want to try to make it to. Ooh, and then maybe end of the year, New York trip. So maybe like Yoseika. Because I had plane tickets that were canceled from last year.
Me too!
I was going to go last year in April for my birthday, April 1st. Mm. That was like the most sensitive time, you know, to go. And so they canceled my ticket. They wouldn't refund me. So I had like credits that were about to expire this April. But I made them extend it again till the end of the year. So definitely a New York trip is in my plans.
Totally. I know. I was supposed to visit. So my brother lives on the East Coast. I was supposed to visit him, and then I haven't been able to because of the pandemic, but he will still sometimes go down to New York. And I'm like, can you visit Yoseika for me? He's always like, I don't have time. No. That's like, no, visit.
You're like, hey, help a sister out. That's why I tell my sister.
I know. I know. We're always getting our siblings to buy stuff for us.
That's what siblings are for, aren't they?
Right. Okay, if you could use only one notebook, only one, what would it be and why?
Hobonichi, no question.
the cousin full or Avec, or what do you think?
Yeah, the cousin Avec. Like I said many times before, I feel like the Hobonichi is what really started this journey for me, and it's been the most consistent way for me to document my creative life, or monotonous life, but in creative manners.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Like, right. You know, you do the most boring stuff on the day, but then you like decorate it with.
Yeah. I cooked eggs, and then you sketch the eggs, and suddenly it looks awesome.
I feel like there's a lot of other notebooks that can also fulfill the same purpose. But I just love the idea that a book can handle the bulk that accumulates throughout the entire year. Who knows what the future holds, though, with the discussion, like the Tomorrow River paper not being Tomorrow River paper anymore, which is the thing. I feel like as the company, as their brand, they probably will figure out a solution for that, because this is kind of what they are marketing themselves as. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried. I'm not thinking of solutions for that. Like, you guys will figure something out, and I just have to enjoy the product. So
right. I'm pretty sure the company prides themselves on their craftsmanship and their paper quality. I think we should just trust what they're going to make.
You know, I don't even mind too much about the paper as long as they keep the binding the same thing, because it's the binding
that's lay like flat. Yes.
And the ability to stretch the point where your Hobonichi is like, what, 3 inches thick at the end of the year and still not fall apart. That's just still very amazing to me.
Yeah. Okay, and then finally, what are your top 5 stationery must-have items that you love?
Recent favorites, because I have a lot, and I can only do it by moment in time thing.
Moment in time.
Right now, I love Mind Wave stickers. Like, every single design they come out, I'm like, I have to buy it. I always like obsessively check cute things from Japan. And whenever new ones drop, I'm like, yep, Ayako, I have it in my cart. I'm checking out. And then Happy Daya designed washi tapes and stickers is a new discovery for me. And to be honest, I felt attached to this brand because she's based in Thailand. And I feel like as a person who grew up in Bangkok, I completely missed the art train that happened in Bangkok and the whole creators that sprouted during these few years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way for me to pay back the guilt of not like loving any Bangkok produced art. And so once I discovered that she's based in Bangkok and like she just makes amazing stickers and washi tape designs, I've been supporting her ever since. So Happy Daya. I love Shachihata ink pads. Like I used to be a Versamagic chalk ink lover because of the ability to use it in Hobonichi. But Shachihata has just stolen my heart and never looking back. Did you see the hack where people are buying empty?
Yes! Oh my god, it looks so cool. Like,
yeah.
Putting the refills on it, I was like, I need that because, you know, I have the refills. So
you kind of had the idea of doing it just single color, right?
Yes.
Like filling it into like dried out pads.
Right.
People are making their own like mixed color ones.
Yes, it's so cool.
I want to do that.
I think I need to buy. I'm actually now definitely on the Shachihata train and I understand and I'm like really wanting to buy more colors.
Collect them all and then you can like drop different ones together to make in unique hats.
Yeah.
And then pen wise, I love my Uniball 1 pens. It's the upgrade version of the Unisignal, which is kind of like my staple, but the limited edition color sets. Like if you give me a pen, then the color name is Atsuki or like apricot or like, you know, citrus.
Snack.
I don't want an orange pen. I want an apricot pen.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't want like a teal pen. I want Ramune colors.
Yeah, oh my god, I was literally just gonna say that. You know? Soda.
Right, so like using this pen, I think this is again the joy of stationery that we talk about a lot. The naming and the story and just the little niche special thing about this item, even though it's just a blue pen, makes me feel so happy. And so
I totally
And then the highest end item in my current roster is the Sailor Pro Gear pens I've acquired recently. So like the Sakura pen and the Yoseika super special green pen.
Dun, dun, dun.
They're all like really high quality fountain pens and just delivers the story and like the feel of it in my hand, look of it. The way I can enjoy different inks on different paper, I think it's been one of my favorites recently.
I think sometimes like the fountain pens make me think of that meditation that people sometimes get from making a good cup of coffee. Like if they have a ritual, you know, they grind the beans, they get the hot water ready, maybe they do it in their espresso machine, or maybe they do a pour over a French press. But when you like fill up the cartridge in your fountain pen or you clean the nib, it has that similar feeling, like really getting close to a product that you love a lot.
And then the Sailor Pro Gear also has been my way of commemorating special events. Like my first one was my wedding pen last year in May. The second one was kind of like a belated survive coronavirus halfway through kind of pen resale wise. And then like this year I got the Sailor Plus with the Sakura one. It kind of was like, yay, finally got my work visa. And then it was my birthday. And then the latest one, Yoseika one, was kind of like the milestone in my stationery life pen. So
I love it. I love that each one has a story connected to it. That's like what makes stationery meaningful. It's the story behind the objects that we use.
Yeah. If they don't have one, we'll justify it by giving it one. I'm very actually pleasantly happy pleasantly surprised that we didn't talk about any enabling factors in this episode so far. I enjoy the concept, but like I said, like you said in previous episode, we don't want it to be what Stationery Cafe like symbolize. Like, I don't want enabling to be the thing for Stationery Cafe. Where we just kind of do it naturally.
I think our goal with Stationery Cafe has always been to just share the latest news, products, and then techniques, and share our experience with the stationery. And you know, if people hear our episode and they're like, you know, I want to try that out, that's on them.
I like to say we're enabling you to be happier and to find what works for you. We're enabling you to pick and choose what could give you joy and what like will add color to your life. So that's what we're enabling here. That's what we're enabling. Enabling to you to be your best self.
Exactly. Which could be more stationary, but sometimes it could be less stationary. You know, maybe you feel like you have too much. But anyway, with that, we will end our interview with our lovely April from Penguins Creative. This is a long-awaited episode. Oh my gosh, I was like kind of nervous to interview you actually, because you have big shoes to fill, because you are really like such a good interviewer, like interacting with the guests and stuff. And I was like, okay. So anyway, for all of our listeners, cut me some slack. Sorry if I wasn't as, you know, entertaining as April is.
No, you were perfect. And I can't wait to do this the other way around and interview Phyllis as another special guest for the episode, because she has a great story too. And let me take back the host reign and say, you know, you can always find us on Instagram as The Stationery Cafe, the website, thestationerycafe.com, and then you can now support The Stationery Cafe sustainability through our Patreon site. And as always, let us know who you like to hear on future episodes, any guests you would like to learn more about. I'm always open to suggestion, and in fact needed your help finding fun people to talk to. So let me know, drop me a line at Penguins Creative or The Stationery Cafe on Instagram, and we look forward to bringing you another fun episode next week.
Bye, April.
Bye, Phyllis.